It might just be helpful to keep in mind the Google Dictionary definition of sacrifice, which is giving up something valued for the sake of other considerations. Giving up something valued for the sake of other considerations. Sacrifice. Of course, the culture we live in today tells us we shouldn't really be giving things up, because success in this life is all about gathering, not giving. Society tells us it's about doing all we can to build up our own lives to be as pleasurable, comfortable, financially secure, and me-centered as we possibly can make them. But that's not what the Bible says. And we're turning today to Isaiah chapter 53 that Andrea's just read to look more closely at the sacrifice of Jesus. It's a very moving passage that foretold hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, his suffering, the purpose of it, and the hope it brings to us. We're going to look today at three main points: Jesus, the man of sorrows, Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, and the sacrifices that we are called to make in our own lives, and what that could look like in practical terms for each of us. So firstly, Jesus, the man of sorrows. Well, we already saw with Matthew's sermon last week how Jesus meets us in our different states of distress. Yet we read today in Isaiah 53 that Jesus does more than just provide a shoulder for us to cry on. The journey of Jesus himself was one of sorrow as he travelled through the wilderness of this world, a journey which ultimately took him to the very epicentre of wilderness, the cross. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus that he was like a root in dry ground. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. We know that this man of sorrows wept at Lazarus's tomb. He wept over the fate of Jerusalem, recorded in Luke 19, and mourned the loss of his cousin, John the Baptist. In Matthew 14, the very short little reading that we've just had, we hear the horrible story of John being beheaded just before that section that was read. When Jesus hears this news about his cousin, he takes himself away to a desert place. He chooses to go to the desert to mourn before his heavenly Father. So our God knows intimately the human experience of grief and pain, because in his humanity, he experienced grief and pain himself. If you are suffering today, be assured that Jesus knows. This is part of who Jesus is. And our second point, Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. Isaiah foretold that the Messiah would not only know our sorrow, but that he would carry the full weight of our suffering, sin, and shame. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah's words contain many echoes of the Day of Atonement, recorded in Leviticus 16. This passage from Israel's 40 years in the wilderness tells of how God dealt with the Israelites' sin one day each year through the death of a sacrificial lamb and the sacrifice of a scapegoat. If you've been taking part in the Bible course that we're running at the moment on Wednesday evenings and Sunday afternoons, you may remember Andrew Ollerton, the presenter of that, explaining very clearly where our word scapegoat comes from. I think it was back in week 2. The priest would place his hands on the head of the goat to transfer the guilt of the people onto it. It was then sent away to symbolically carry the weight of all Israel's sin out into the wilderness. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, verse 22 of Leviticus 16. The goat was to be cut off from the land of the living, suffering for these sins so the people didn't have to. Now listen out for the similarities in the language, because echoing this Leviticus story, Isaiah writes about Jesus in today's passage. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Who could ever regard the Old Testament as irrelevant or less relevant to our faith as Christians, when there are such clear links, themes, and fulfilled prophecies as that? Clearly defined in the Old Testament, fulfilled by Jesus in the New. Whatever wilderness each of us may be struggling with today, Jesus has borne the pain of that on his shoulders, on the cross. He has become our scapegoat, carrying our sin, our struggles, our sorrows. He went out into the wilderness of judgment all alone, so that ultimately we may be healed, restored, and made whole. Well, we've looked at Jesus, the man of sorrows, and Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. So thirdly, what sacrifices are we called to make? Keep in mind that Google definition of sacrifice: giving up something valued for the sake of other considerations. Those of you who know me will know that I'm involved in the Just Ice project, the community cafe on Park Lane. And I do apologise that barely a sermon of mine goes by without mentioning ice cream, but hopefully this will be a helpful illustration. In the cafe at the moment, we're supporting a young lady who lives in the Asylum Seekers Hotel, not very far from here in Dialstone Lane, just off the A6. She and her mum fled their home country of Iran 10 months ago because they are committed Christians and because they are women. She's not ready yet to share her story fully, and in any case, it wouldn't be appropriate to retell it here. But it's clear that they have suffered considerably, and they have certainly given up something valued for the sake of other considerations. They've given up their home, their culture, their proximity to their family, their right to earn a living, and I'm sure many other things which are known only to them, to live in a country where they can practice their Christian faith and can be respected as women. And we in the cafe are learning in a deep and raw way that this problem, referred to constantly in the press and by some of our government ministers and MPs as the boat people or the asylum seeker problem, refers to real, genuine people who have made sacrifices, people who are really not very different in many ways to you or to me. Each one has a story, a real, true background and situation. Each one is loved by the God who made him or her. And each one has made a considerable sacrifice to come to this country. At the risk of being asked to step down from my presenting job at the frontier for being party political, what should our response be to the people like this who have made such sacrifices, who have suffered so much already? Some of you, I'm sure, are mothers, and will hopefully be thanked and celebrated later today for all that you do as a mother. You may have already enjoyed breakfast in bed. I was slightly worried this morning because I was here for the first service as well. I had to leave home quite early, earlier than teenage boys who live in my house are likely to be up. But luckily, my husband came to the rescue. Others of you may have chosen not to be a mother, or may have had to come to terms with that decision being made for you. Or you may be a mother in a less traditional way, perhaps in a blended family, or through adoption or fostering. Perhaps today you're thinking of your own mother and giving thanks for her. Or perhaps today is a difficult day for you. Perhaps you're wishing things had been different. Or you may have different relationships, different caring responsibilities that don't come directly under the umbrella of motherhood. And it's important today that you too are included and celebrated and thanked for what you do. Do you feel, I wonder, that in any of your relationships you have been giving up something valued for the sake of other considerations? Have you made sacrifices, even ones that you consider to have been really worthwhile? Your time, your sleep, your body perhaps, your right to choose what's for tea, your freedom and flexibility, your social life, or perhaps your career. Well, turning back to Scripture and the third point in our teaching today, we're looking at the sacrifices that our faith in Jesus and the teaching of the Bible calls us to make. And the book of Hebrews is a really good place to go to be challenged in that regard. It's also a good place to go in the New Testament to help us understand how Jesus continues and concludes the story of the Old Testament. In Hebrews 10, the writer describes how Jesus completely fulfills all that the Day of Atonement was pointing towards, that Jesus is the one final sacrifice for all sin, and that by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy, Hebrews 10:14. We cannot make ourselves right with God. Only Jesus has done that. Therefore, any sacrifices we bring today are not given in order to earn God's favour. And yet the writer to the Hebrews does say that there are sacrifices we are called to make. We are called to make sacrifices of praise and sacrifices of doing good and sharing with other people. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased, Hebrews 13:12-16. The sacrifice we bring is the sacrifice of response. Seeing how Jesus has dealt with our sorrow and shame, we are inspired and empowered to bring our praise and our service. We can worship God with our lips in songs and prayers, and we can worship God by showing generosity and compassion towards other people. The young lady from Iran who I mentioned is really missing eating food from her own country. Every meal in the asylum seeker's hotel apparently is either fried fish or fried chicken, always with chips and usually with peas, or for the occasional treat, sweet corn. She knows where there is an Iranian supermarket not far away, but in the hotel there are no cooking facilities. So we're looking at offering her and her mum the cafe kitchen on a day when we're closed, so they can cook something they'll enjoy, something that reminds them of home for the first time in 10 months. Is there an act of kindness that you could do for someone in need this week? Perhaps inviting someone who you know is lonely or recently bereaved over for dinner. Maybe buying a sandwich for a homeless person you might pass in the street. Writing a card or leaving a small gift on the desk of a colleague who you know is struggling right now. Or you could perhaps suggest or offer to organise a church activity or event that helps those less fortunate, like the recent coat exchange. Or perhaps just start, as I'm feeling challenged to do, by clearing your schedule somewhat, reducing the busyness, to make space to be able to think about and put effort into more of these kinds of things. A small sacrifice for God's glory in response to what Jesus did for us, and to bless another person. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased, it says in Hebrews 13:16. And to finish, just one final thought. Isaiah 53:12 tells us that Jesus poured out his life unto death. Thankfully, in this country, no one is asking us to die for our faith, although Christians in some countries are facing that. But perhaps we can pour out our own lives in a different way, in response to the immense sacrifice of Jesus' life having been poured out for us. Is God calling you to something new today? to a change of direction, to a softening of your heart, to a slowing down, to the pouring out of a different part of you that you've been willing to give than you've been willing to give before. Let's pause for a moment of quiet to reflect on that, and then I'll pray to close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the immense sacrifice of your Son Jesus, the greatest sacrifice that there could be. Please help us to respond with our lips in words and songs of praise to you, and with our lives in actions and deeds for those we love and those in need. Amen.